Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? Every Wednesday on the Low Blows Network, the Low Blows team are at hand to break down, analyze, and make fun of all things pro wrestling. Hosted by former pro wrestler Rick Nash. I think the only reasonable thing we can do now is turn John Cena heel.
Selfie with me fucking dog.
Banned from Nigeria. I will be talking to the government tomorrow morning.
YouTube star Corporate King.
This elephant has four legs. Joe Russell's four legs. Joseph Stalin, if he had two more legs.
Bone saw rips off his shirt, yeah? And it says, Chuck your law. Big dirty toy for him.
And the queen of Irish wrestling, Katie Harvey.
I won't want to sign just CM
I'm
Punk.
I'm so embarrassed. CM Punk.
It's Low Blows. Bravo!
Congratulations to Tyson Fury last week, who absolutely destroyed Deontay Wilder in, I don't know if saying that he won was an upset, but, like, the nature of how it happened, the way, like, the two of them carried themselves, and, like, a lot of boxing purists, it upset them, but I don't think anyone could argue with the result. Absolutely mauled them in a historic fight. But I was reading Twitter beforehand, and I saw an interesting tweet about it. This is before the fight even started, and it said, Wilder Fury, is this the best boxing name for a fight? Like, in terms of, like, if you wrote that in a fiction, what people would say, nah, that's not a real fight. That sounds like a load of bollocks. But as we get kicked off here, on another edition of Low Blows, Rick Nash, Katie Harvey, and Corbett Keane in the house as always. Guys, what are the best fight names in professional wrestling history?
West Jindrak. I don't know. I don't understand the question.
Who's West?
Devin West.
But that didn't happen.
See, I thought he was going to say what would sound the best. So that was my answer. Ready to go. And then, I was half listening.
You want to say, see, Devin West against Mark Jindrak?
Well, I don't like saying, I speak for everyone. But, I speak for most people when I say, that's the match that episode 14 needs. If I'm being honest. But, would you not want to see that match?
I'm not against it.
Well, you're the GM. So, I'm just saying, if you want the Devin West versus Mark Jindrak, the person who has the power to do that is you.
Tweet us in if that's what you want.
Devin West versus Mark Jindrak, ladies and gentlemen, tweet that in now.
Mark Jindrak is now looking for a match at WrestleMania against Triple H. I think he might fall a bit short in that goal.
I'll be so up for that, man.
I thought that was a joke.
I don't think he's ready. I don't think he... Like,
I didn't think he was still wrestling until I seen that tweet the other day.
Yeah, he's like a big star in Mexico. Like a proper main event. Yeah. CMLL main event, champion and
Mark
stuff.
Mark Jindrak.
Yeah, yeah. But he was called something else. But yeah, Mark Jindrak, yeah.
That's mad. I never knew that.
He's looking for that. I think he might fall a bit short in that ambition.
But
Devin West is an achievable goal. It's one of those, if you want to be happy, set your goals to achieve. But I feel like Devin West is an achievable goal for Mark Jindrak. If it's what the people want, then let us know and we'll see what we can do.
As a WCW person, do you love Mark Jindrak then?
I like Jindrak and O'Hare.
Man.
As a tag team.
Oh, they were deadly. Yeah,
I agree.
So for me, the best fight name in wrestling history would be The Undertaker Kane. Because for me, that's something... I love names which grab you and tell you everything you need to know. I love, for example, when I was thinking about Wilder Fury and great boxing fight names, Ali Frazier comes to mind. Because on one hand, you've got, a godlike figure. And on the other hand, you have, the working man, Joe Frazier. Do you know what I mean? It's that could be your neighbor. That could be your leading ta. Do you know what I mean? Against Muhammad Ali. So The Undertaker Kane, straight away. I remember being told about them when I was a kid and I was kind of out on wrestling. And that helped draw me back in, because it's The Undertaker and his brother Kane, and it's mad shit. See, I don't you tell me those names and I'm I think mad shit's happening, and I kind of need to see that. There's some mad shit happening. So for me, that's my favorite fight name in wrestling. Katie Harvey, your favorite fight name?
I'm gonna make this bet myself.
Okay, well, that's the norm.
That's not, waiting for that.
This is the new big league Katie Harvey. Now, Now she's back. Now she's like in the full swing. She's got a title ring behind her, kid.
Now, you know what's gas, right? I put up an Instagram picture of me in a forest the other day, and someone writes underneath it, "It's so lovely to see you enjoying a break from the ring." And I was like, what? I just haven't been booked for 2 weeks. I was like, just liked it. I was like, yeah, thanks. Enjoying this break that I chose to take. Involuntarily. I've wrestled Debbie Keitel a lot, and I think more promoters should get on board with the Harvey Keitel fight name.
Yes.
Like, you know, we had a short run as a tag team in PWU, but I think there's legs to that name. Like, yeah. They could do like a cool sort of like Reservoir Dogs poster. Like, it'd be deadly.
Harvey Keitel is a special guest referee. Like, that's a scrapper match right there.
There we go.
Like, if you got to break out the budget, like, I think we'd all be up for it. Well,
wait, with that Harvey Keitel as special guest referee?
Well, not a random guy called Harvey Keitel. Yeah, I run Harvey Keitel's carpets. Like, no, like, that. If you're going to get Harvey Keitel, get the Harvey Keitel. guys, usually this is the part of the show where I come out and say, it's been a huge week in wrestling. We have so much to discuss. It hasn't. We don't. it's been a pretty quiet week by any standards. But so look, we'll try and squeeze whatever we can out of it and have a bit of a laugh on the way and cover everything. And also as well, it's going to be a big week coming up because we have AEW Revolution and WWE Super Showdown. WWE back milking the Saudi blood money for all it's worth. So we're going to be discussing them and the big news stories, which are going to get us kicked off as they always do, where we give our lightning hot takes and the stories that are grabbed our attention, because ladies and gentlemen, it's time for
Hot Takes.
Hot Takes, biggest news stories of the week. First off, going, I'm buying time for him because he's decided to have, what is that?
An eclair. What a risky little sweet to eat.
Eclairs are not podcast friendly. All right, look, do you know what? I'll go first.
Thank you.
We're going to start off by talking about NXT Japan. Keenan's just off for the week. Keenan's like, quiet show, you say? Pass the eclairs. You sap. I want to talk about NXT Japan first. People freaking out about this. And look, as someone who loves his Japanese wrestling, well documented, and would have a stake in wanting to see it continue to survive, and as the same person who... I remember I got savaged, like I was arguing you shouldn't vote for Sinn Féin when WWE first announced NXT UK, and I was like, look, this is what they do. This is probably going to be the end. A lot of UK companies are going to go for this and they're going to kind of compromise things. And I kind of, like, I'm not just saying, oh, I was right. But, like, I you can see these things ahead of time. So, look, I would be a person that should be worried about this if there was something to worry about, and I feel like assessing the situation, I'd be able to assess if it's something that we should be freaking out about. The answer is no, I don't think this is something to freak out about. I think this is actually something that could end up being a good thing. For a start, this is different from... So basically, if you haven't seen this, WWE have effectively announced that they're going to open a performance center in Japan. They haven't officially announced NXT Japan, but that's kind of, you know, that's the presumptive next step. They've got some decent coaches in, the likes of Meiko Satomura and so on. So they have some big names in, going to be coaching, and they're looking to sign up people. WWE have also gone in, like, they've got about this aggressively. They've tried to buy out Noah, which ended up getting bought out by someone else, so they were unsuccessful in doing so. They've tried investing in Dragon Gate as well, also unsuccessful there. They didn't even ask about New Japan because, A, they probably wouldn't be able to afford it. Like, well, they could afford it, but it'd be effectively like buying WCW again, you know, so it'd be more money than it's probably worth to them, because New Japan is really successful. And that's kind of the point of why people shouldn't freak out here. It's not the same as what happened in the UK, and a lot of people are worried that we're going to start seeing big names from New Japan just sign up, because that's what we saw even over here. The difference in here and there is it's part of the mainstream culture there. So, like, with the UK... they were only coming to kind of the mainstream culture stage of it, and that's what made WWE react, because world like BritRest was getting to the size of being noticed by ITV. There were talks about World of Sport, and WWE heard that and immediately came in as a reactive move for that, and that's what ended up happening there. The difference here is that New Japan is way past that. So, like, New Japan press conferences are, like, covered on the back of the sports pages. Do you know what I mean? Like, they have actual, like, they put CCW press conferences to shame. Put it that way. Like, they have actual members of the mainstream media show up and report, and wrestlers have, like, genuine, like, sports star-like interviews where they're like, look, wrestling's a game of two halves, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's treated like a serious sport there. They sell out the Tokyo Dome, obviously, which is, like, OTT selling out the Tree Arena. It's like four times the attendance of the Tree Arena. Do you know what I mean? It's like them selling out Lansdowne Road or the Aviva or whatever it's called now. So it's a different league there. Japan also has a culture of wrestling, and Mexico as well would be quite similar in that it's like it's a part of their fabric. Canada as well would be another thing where WWE, like, I know Canada's a bad example because there's not really a big wrestling company now to see it, but Japan and Mexico would be very much, it's part of the fabric of their DNA. It's like WWE coming in would be to them like the XFL is to the NFL, if that makes sense. It's like Japanese people would see it as, You're not gonna take that away. And even when you see in WWE and the attendances they get for shows over there, like the biggest New Japan shows beat WWE house shows. So it's not a thing where it's gonna cause damage. In fact, like, we've defended NXT UK somewhat. We've criticized it where it needs to be criticized, but we've defended it somewhat as being an agent for change and a lot of positive change within the industry, in terms of normalizing stuff like people having medics at shows and so on, and making independent wrestling promotions get their act together and so on, because they'll only let their talent work with people of a certain standard. So it has increased the general standardized rate of play across the industry over here, while doing a lot of significant damage. Let's not like sugarcoat it in any way. But in Japan as well, like, it'll give wrestlers, like, it's not, they're not going to take wrestlers away from the big promotions. They're not going to sign Okada. They're not going to, like, they'd be lucky to even get a Suzuki. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to take the big wrestlers away. They're not going to have an impact on the shows. They're going to very much at their best be the second biggest professional wrestling entity in Japan. And also as well, they're going to then give people a lot of a full-time living. So it's kind of the benefits of what you're getting in the UK without the impact that it's caused the UK. Because the UK was built on, like, small promotions, getting big, kind of catching fire, but they weren't, they, you know, even though they were pulling in big houses, they weren't wealthy promotions. So they were always gonna sell out because that was the smart financial business move, even if fans didn't like it themselves. New Japan, it's completely different state of play. Like I said, WWE got out, consider that WWE got outbid for pro wrestling Noah. Do you know what I mean? So that's the level you're talking. It's not something worth freaking out over. And we can all chill and just see how it goes, because it could be a good thing. It could even just, like, a really strong likelihood of all this is that it just flops. Nothing happens. It's just shy. And then it doesn't make any kind of inroads. That's a very realistic possibility, and so people can enjoy that. Now, Corbin Keane, have you finished your eclair?
Have, yeah. It's nice.
The thing about eclairs is, like, you definitely want another one now.
Yeah.
Because they linger in your teeth.
No.
Can you hold off for a couple of minutes?
Yeah, I'm going to try hold off for the rest of it. I'm going to be a professional. And I'm going to hold off for as long as I can.
Thanks for deciding to be a professional 14 minutes into the show.
Well, like over nearly 2 years into Low Blows, I'm finally deciding I'm going
to
be a professional.
Good stuff. Anyway, moving on. To the now fully appetized Corporate Keane.
Yeah, right. my fucking...
pump it for yourself.
Like, you guys can't see it, but he just did a little, like, fist bump as well for himself. Roof,
I'm very hyped.
very hyped for me.
Yeah. So my hot take is it's to do with Marty Scurll and basically his decision to not go to AEW and basically stay in Ring of Honor and stuff. It's not like, I mean, obviously for him that was always like a great decision. I don't think anybody could argue with that, you know, based on how much he's supposedly earning from it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But as a fan, I was a bit kind of...
Sorry, can you guys just swap mics for a second?
Oh.
Just for what? one second. There you go.
Sick as well. Coronavirus
all over that mic.
Right. yeah, so Marty Scurll, yeah, he decided to stay at Ring of Honor and didn't go to AEW. And at first, I thought, as a fan, that was, you know, kind of shit. Because you think Ring of Honor, you're kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted Marty Scurll to go join his boys over in AEW. You know what I mean? Like, one of the lads. But I just think now that was a good decision. As a fan, I feel like it's beneficial. I like, and the reason I say that is because Marty Scurll, when I think of Marty Scurll when he was at his absolute best, right? You could argue, you know, people have their own opinions, but for me personally, Marty Scurll at his best was in, you know, the OTT days when he was like on his own, when he was the villain Marty Scurll, before he joined Bullet Club, but before he was just kind of like another lad in the faction, you know what I mean? When he was standalone, yeah, the villain. And for me, I just see this as like the first time since joining the Bullet Club where he's essentially kind of stood alone as his own. Could you please stop distracting me? Rick is dropping everything.
You can have your own mic back.
Yes, thank you. You can have this.
It was so uncomfortable for
him. Sorry, Keen's mic just was running out of battery there. Apologies.
Ah, cool. But yeah, so... Rick, yeah, where was I? Marty Scurll in, yeah, no, I forget. I completely forgot my train of thought.
He's doing well for himself. He's doing a lot better.
He's doing his own thing.
Yeah,
and I also think that
see, I was listening.
Yeah, nice. I just think it's good. And also, like...
For me, it, like, here's the thing as well, though. He's like, I remember having a conversation. It was with Amy McGee, actually. I remember having a conversation with her about Marty Scurll and how when he joined the Bullet Club, because he was really, like, popular over here. Do you remember the pop when he did that surprise entrance for OTT?
He did loads, and they were all fucking unreal.
Yeah, like, and he was so over here, and then he joined the Bullet Club, and it was, like, a cool guy who... It was, like, a guy who'd made new cool friends. And, like, it's like, hey, Marty, remember us? And he was just like, oh, hey guys. You know what I mean? Like, he was just too cool. And now he's kind of coming back in. He's more relevant than he's been in a long time.
Yeah, and I think for Ring of Honor, I don't know who does what in Ring of Honor. And I know, like, Delirious is supposed to be shit or something. And he probably is. Like, Ring of Honor either way is in, like, a, you know, it's in a bad way heading into 2020. And I think most people would agree that it needs change. And Marty Scurll is supposedly the booker now and all that sort of thing. And, like... As bad as Ring of Honor can get sometimes, you've got the likes of Gresham, Haskins, Martina, loads of little kind of bright spots in there. And if it's the right change, then Ring of Honor could end up being a really cool promotion to watch this mm-hmm. year. You know what I mean? So if he's in control of that and he ends up doing the right things, that could be deadly as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also just seeing him, like the feud that I'm most into right now in 2020 is fucking Scurll and Aldis in NWA. I watched a lot of NWA in the bus yesterday catching up and oh my God, like the interviews and the promos back and forth, I'm so fucking into it. Like if that's what we're getting because he didn't go to AEW and become another member of the roster, yeah. I'm all right with that, to be honest. And I think then when he finally does decide to go to AEW, you know, whenever that is, it'll be a fucking huge deal as well. Mm. So... Basically, it's something that I was a bit kind of, well, not devastated or like, you know, raid. Like, it didn't ruin my day, but it was a bit kind of, you know what I mean? Is now something, I just think it's a good thing. I don't know.
It was a really clever and savvy career move by him because it's like, yeah, look, you can go to the big promotion and earn the big bucks now and get paid full time and hang out with your mates, but who would he have been? He would have been probably under Hangman Page. Do you know what I mean? Like, in terms of that elite group. Whereas now, like, he's a big fish in a small pond and he looks very valuable and he's getting to reinvigorate his career. So, yeah, no, I agree. It was an absolutely ace move by him and one that a lot of people wouldn't have made, like, at the time. But he's shown all them. Anyway, moving on. Back in our main event slot, it is Big League, Katie Harvey.
Are you deliberately trying to sound like Bully from Bullseye when you do that? The moving on thing. That's new.
Is it?
I
don't even think about that.
I don't know why
stuff.
I'm looking at Keane. He doesn't know what
Bullseye
is.
Bullseye, remember Jim Bowen?
Yeah, that darts game show from the 80s.
Yeah.
You were minus 17.
Is that one of those shows they repeat on Challenge over and over?
I see it
on the like guide, but I don't know what
they used to give people in the Midlands like speedboats the whole time.
Yeah, that was the top prize.
Useless to them.
Or the rest of the prizes were things like dinner plates, you know, like, and people used to lose their shit over them. It was great.
It's the pride.
Yeah, fancy China. It was a big deal in the 80s.
That was a real tangent. So we got the official announcement that we're getting Mustache Mountain versus More Than Hype for the tag titles at Scrapper. And I wanted to talk about this because I think it's had such an interesting reaction on Twitter.
Yeah.
If this had been announced 6 months ago, people would be losing their shit and calling
it. It was. And it did get great. I remember the last stadium show. And it did get a great reaction.
Yeah. But then obviously the match didn't happen. Was it Tyler was injured last time?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Trent was on the show. He wrestled Karen O'Reilly, I think.
On Scrapper Mania?
No, he was in the tag match.
Yeah, he was in a tag. Yeah, Karen O'Reilly was in that. Yeah, I remember that.
So obviously, like, they won the titles a year ago now and have never defended them in Dublin. Mm. And understandably, people are really upset about this. So they're not looking forward to the match and they're saying the match shouldn't happen and that Mustache Mountain should be just be stripped of the belt and it should just be between, say, like True Pros and More Than Hype. And like, I completely understand where they're coming from, but I also, I think I completely disagree.
Okay.
I think I do. Yeah.
One of these Katie figuring it out on the air deals.
On the fly hot take.
She could completely do a 180 by the end of this. Let's see how this goes.
Yeah, I could. And like, because I had to talk myself around it when I was thinking about it. And it's like, no, because you know what? I'm still super excited about this match because like Mustache Mountain are one of the best teams in Europe. Okay. More Than Hype are one of the best teams in Europe. The match itself is going to be a banger. And we're all saying like, oh, this match is only happening for the inevitable More Than Hype coronation as tag champions. Mm-hmm. But like, we all thought that about British Strong Style and Mustache Mountain.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's more risky now to keep the belts on them because like, because Tyler's had to pull out so much, but like, what if something happens?
There's no what if. No, there is no what if.
But
like,
what
normally,
if?
And I never say there's a 0% chance in wrestling, but I'm like confidently saying 0% chance Mustache Mountain to win.
Okay, fair enough. But do you still think it's going to be a banger of a match?
I think, right, so my stance on it is this, right? That I don't blame the fans for shit on the match because as a fan myself, when I see Mustache Mountain are booked, they're not booked. I don't consider that match booked until I actually see it in front of me. They put out too often.
I was saying just before the show, but just to know for the listeners, we put out this show because it was late because I had issues with my laptop for the past couple of weeks. They're fixed now, so the show's going to be out in time, don't worry. But
well, they know that if they're listening.
As you know, just reassuring the listeners, Keane, right?
Well, listen, does in fact go out late for a reason now.
Yeah, if you're there, like, don't worry, lads, it's going to come out.
That'll never happen again, except for now, maybe, because it hasn't happened. No, but like, I was just saying, like, last week the show went out late and it came out around, I put it online around 7 o'clock on Thursday, and literally, like, minutes later, I think it was around the same time it went online, it was like, Cooper Keane did a hot take last week, like, please don't book WWE, lads, because we, like, I don't even get built up for matches and then they pull out and then like literally as that went online it got announced about Tyler, like, so you looked very like, visionary, but it just goes to show as well.
It reminds you of, I remember like CCK in like 2017 or 16 or around that, they used to always get booked and always be pulling out with injuries and all sorts, and it's like if somebody has kind of builds up that reputation, for me anyway, I don't consider them booked until I see them, and that's what this match is for me. It's a match that might happen, it's possibly, I think it probably will. But probably, you know what I mean?
See, my point is, like, the match will happen, and I think, like, even though people are expecting the moment of More Than Hype win, I still think the moment is going to be great.
I think the two teams are good enough to put on a match to take me on a journey to go, oh, fuck, what if? Like, I'm saying now 0% chance, but I think in the moment, I'm like, oh, fuck, you know what I mean?
Could this all work out for the better? Like, to kind of combine both, could it work out for the better in that now Mustache Mountain may come into the match as heels because people will be frustrated with them and feel that in kind of a Devlin start, not to the degree Devlin start, obviously, but like in that kind of same psychological mold, and then it'll make the More Than Hype win more than sweeter because of that.
I don't think so. Because the stadium is full of fans who like seeing the big names, you know what I mean? Like, David Starr was 100% face at the stadium, and a lot of that was... I know a lot of fans obviously knew the stories and stuff going in, but a lot of that was also, oh, cool, David Starr, you know what I mean? Like,
and the video package beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. So I think people will cheer... People are definitely going to cheer Mustache Mountain. I think the bubble... I could be wrong, but I think it's a lot smaller than we realize. Like, yeah. I'm in the bubble. I'm like, fuck you, Mustache Mountain, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I think most people would just be happy to hear the music, they'll see the wrestler they like, and they'll be like, woo!
More,
but I do
more
think
than hype are very big in the bubble, though. Like, they're one of the biggest in the bubble.
I think, but... Well,
but the bubble itself is small. Is
I'm very confused. I don't understand what you mean.
what bubble,
what
are,
bubble
we
are we referring to?
Like, no, I think more than hype. I know exactly what you're saying, but I still think they transcend the super casual fan. Like, I think, like, if you have any interest in Irish wrestling, even a passing interest, more than hype or a team that you know.
Is it at the stage, though, that it's almost like it's worthwhile for OTT to just acknowledge how the fans feel
this
and
what I was
make a
say.
Part of a story?
This, this,
yeah. Where more than hype can be like, we'll see you at the stadium if you even show
no,
up.
That's what I was going to say. They have. They've already done that.
Yeah.
With Belfast, they've... the whole thing, they had the video ready from the two pros when Tyler Bate pulled and everything. So... That's now acknowledged, that's a thing, and I don't know who it was suggested on Twitter, but I think it'd be really funny if Trent came out on his own, and he's like, sorry lads, Tyler couldn't make it, unfortunately, you know, I'm here, but he's not here, and then like Tyler Bate runs through the crowd and from behind attacks more than hype.
Oh!
We see what I mean, like, I think people, I understand why they're angry, but I think they're... I think just have faith.
If OTT lean into Mustache Mountain being heel, I think that'd make it more fun. Yeah. But yeah. I think no, but I do sit in the camp of I think it's gonna be a great match. I'm glad it's happening. I feel like I understand what they're saying about strip the titles, yeah. Whatever. But for me it's like we've made it this far. You know what I mean? Like with through all this shit, to strip them now would be kind
of... That's it. I'm like, I want my moment. Yeah. I want the moment. I still think the moment's gonna be great. Yeah. So I'm firmly not in the strip in the
but I mean,
camp.
We also knew 100% they were gonna win at the last stadium show. You know what I mean? Even though it wasn't as desperate as
but
it is now.
Did we?
Yeah. Well, but it was less obvious maybe. But
we
like
all 100% knew that the Kings of the North were going to beat them, because why would they put the belts on Mustache Mountain for this exact reason?
Yeah. like that. But that match fucked up my head so much. Like, I can't trust anything now.
Like, imagine they did it again. Imagine that it's like, it's not cool anymore because you proved the point we originally made.
But you know what? I do think OTT has a habit of making the best of a situation.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying
true.
About this. I think remain positive. Something cool will happen. Look at Belfast. It might actually have been a better story that Tyler had to pull out.
Yeah.
Because now True Pros are still undefeated.
And here's the thing as well. I don't think this match is selling the card. I think, like, Moxie Starr is selling the card. LJ Pack is selling the card. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think they've got a lot on the card that will sell. So this match isn't, like, necessarily... The stadium show isn't relying on this one match. So this is going to be part of the undercard. It's going to be part of the everything else portion. And, like, it's going to be something cool on the night that... Like, do you know what I mean?
It's going to be that. So many, like, really good matches. Like,
this would be a whopper opener.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, you're not... No, I don't want to be the opener. I was actually thinking about that just there. I'm like, I get you, but it would be a really good opener. But I think, like, for me, even though it's, again, like, we feel like we know what's going to happen, it's the stakes are still really high. This is, like, more than hype saving the tag team division, literally. Like,
yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, there's a whole new story attached, and it's like, I'm still excited for the match.
Oh, they... Okay, we've talked ourselves...
I want the co-main event.
They have to lean into this now. Like, it'd be crazy if they didn't now at this stage where they're like, right, let's just fucking lean in because... This, like, we've sold ourselves on this match in this conversation. Do you know what I mean? Like, so if we can sell it on it, then what OTT have, they can definitely do it. So reasons to be optimistic. There we go.
Yeah,
we've figured it out. We figured it out. Anyway, I don't want to say moving on now. I feel really self-conscious.
It was just the way you were saying it.
On to the next segment.
Say something stupid.
We shall proceed.
Let's talk about the in-ring. The good and the bad, starting with the bad. In at number 5, I'm putting this low on the list because, like, it was kind of funny, and there's a lot to like about it. So I want to talk about the evil ref from Raw. So have you seen this? Have you?
It was deadly.
Okay, so Sylvain Grenier, on a tangential note, it was noted a while back that WWE announced that WWE has hired Sylvain Grenier to be an agent. And everyone's like,
yeah.
Oh, man, I kind of forgot he existed. Not going to lie. Like, that's a throwback. And then everyone was like, wait, he was in the concussion lawsuit. Ah, there, that's why. He's in the company a few weeks, and they're literally doing a rehash of the story. If you remember how Sylvain Grenier came in, it was the rematch between Hulk Hogan and The Rock, except Rock was a heel for this, and Sylvain Grenier was the evil referee who cost Hulk Hogan the match. And then a few weeks after he's been rehired, they literally redo that storyline. So what happened was Randy Orton came out and was cutting one of his promos for Edge. And really cool thing, by the way, Beth Phoenix is coming to Raw to confront Randy Orton next week. Like, so.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You think she's getting RKO'd?
I think she's getting concertos.
I think she's getting punted.
But imagine the stakes. Or I think
Edge gonna make the
Orton, same. Yeah, Orton's gonna get her down and go for it, and then it's gonna be, you think you know me, or something.
Oh,
like that.
I think, yeah. I'll stay up and watch this live. Oh, yeah. My god, I'm so hyped now.
Oh, I'm proper hyped. Oh my god.
It is. It's such a good storyline. So Orton is doing his whole thing, and then Kevin Owens comes out. And you might remember that Owens said after, like, on the night of the Royal Rumble, he tweeted out and he's like, Edge coming back was one of the best moments of my career. Do you know what I mean? Just watching it and being there for it, like, and he thought, and he did a really interesting, good promo. Again, this is why I don't want to put it like high on this list, because there's a lot to like about this. Did a good promo about, he's like, one of the reasons when I got to WWE is like, I want to wrestle Edge. It's one of the worst moments of my like time as a wrestling fan, seeing him have to retire, and then he came back and you took that away from us, and blah, blah, blah. Set up a main event later in the evening. Kevin Owens is feuding with Seth Rollins. That's probably going to be a Mania match of some sort at the moment. So Rollins ended up coming out. And then, at the end of it, Orton hit one of his... Orton caught, like, so there's a lot of shithousery basically going on around the ring. Orton caught Owens with his DDT, you know, where he's catching him in the ring, like, off the ropes. And then the ref just, for no reason, just goes, 1, 2, 3! Like, everyone's like, what? Because there was no lead-up towards it. There was no preamble. It's just like, why'd the ref do a fast count? Like, that's a normal ref. Like, is that a normal ref? And then, like, he went outside again. This is the part. There's from a corporate keen, like, I like funny. I like when wrestling shit, but funny standpoint. This is that. He goes outside and he just keeps turning around to Seth Rollins, who's not really involved in the match or the action. Nothing's happened to him. And he's like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And Rollins is like, yeah, I'm okay. Leave me alone. What are you talking about? And then Orton fucks off anyway. And Owens grabs the ref and hits him with a stunner and then puts him through a table and then rips off his top. And he's got a Monday Night Messiah Seth Rollins top on underneath. And apparently the ref was just like a fan. Upset Rollins, like, it was weird. I don't think it's gonna go anywhere either, which is why, like, I'm putting it in, say something stupid, because I think, like, they finished they told the start, middle, and end of that story in it, but it was just random. It's just like an excuse to for Orton to beat Owens without making Owens look weak. But also, like, if you watched it, it was very entertaining from a what the fuck. Do you know the way you're watching the Raw main event sometimes and it's like the end of a 3-hour show and you're like, all right, okay, just it's a random tag match or whatever, get to where we're going and this will be done. It was one of those endings that made me go, I'm definitely awake. I'm definitely like paying attention to what you're doing. So it was good from that standpoint, but still doesn't deserve to be this is awesome. In at number 4, talk to me about 205 Live. What's going on there these days?
Nothing. Right. So, you know the way NXT UK gets a lot of shit for basically hoarding wrestlers that they have no real plans on using? Rightfully so, in my opinion. But, like, 205 Live is another really big example of that, right? I was watching 205 Live for the first time in a week. So I'm throwing it out there because I could end up being wrong. Or actually, no, I think it's 2 weeks in a row I watched it. I can't remember. Anyway, what's happening in 205 Live? Nothing. That basically summarizes it. First of all, there's no Drake Maverick at the start or anywhere on the show. I don't know if he's still the GM. Did he get moved? I don't know. I haven't been watching. But if he's no longer a part of 205 Live, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, what is he doing? I don't know. But he's sorely missed, basically. The show has storylines, but it's like Brian Kendrick and Aria Davari teaming up in an unlikely alliance to take on whoever. I don't know. I can't remember. I think it's Birch and Lorcan, I think. You've got like Tony Nese and Mike Bennett in a tag team. The Singh brothers. It's like, for me, again, it's just wrestlers that they're just no real... The reason I watched it, right, the reason I started watching 205 Live again is because Jordan Devlin's the Cruiserweight champion now.
Yeah.
So basically what it used to be was, the Cruiserweight champion was the king of this show. This is 1 hour where somebody who didn't matter at all in the grander scheme of things, you know what I mean? Like, you'd see a match in the pre-show while you're playing pool and buskers and you didn't really fucking care or notice or pay attention to it. But in this 1 hour a week, the person who won that match was the king. It was their show and everyone was hunting for their head. But now, and I'm not saying I fully disagree with the idea, but now the NXT Cruiserweight Championship is an NXT title. It's not a 205 title anymore. It's an NXT title.
Yeah.
So they've taken the one kind of like the heart out of 205 Live.
Yeah.
They've taken the one thing that everything kind of circulated around, if that makes sense, that everyone was going for. And everyone's just doing like nothing. You know what I mean? There's just nothing. Like, it's like the storylines, but for what? Yeah. You win a match, what's the consequence? You know what I mean? Like,
there's no the general manager isn't even here anymore.
Yeah. I was watching. It was like Joaquin Wilde against Raul Morales. No, that's a footballer. Raul Mendoza, yeah, that's it. And it's like, and it's grand, but I'm like, it feels like I'm watching main event or something now. You know what I mean? The show feels like it's downgraded hugely, and I'm not even saying they need to like scrap it. I mean, if wrestlers feel like they're benefiting from it, you know, maybe getting experience in front of the crowds or something. I don't know.
I don't even think, to be fair, like when you look at that main event 205 Live kind of level, I don't think that's great experience in front of crowds. Like, if it's your first or second time doing it, then yeah. But what the fuck is Brian Kendrick learning from that? You know what I mean? Why he's like, oh, when I do this spot, the crowd does nothing because it's 205 Live. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's dead crowds, half empty arenas. I think they tape after SmackDown, so half the people have left. Like, they're already pooped from a show. What the fuck are like experienced wrestlers getting from this?
It's just not entertaining.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to give it a few more weeks. They did announce a really good match. Right, this is going to contradict everything now. They announced a good match for a week or two down the line where they're doing like Team NXT against Team NXT led by Lio Rush against Team 205 Live led by someone else. No Devlin again.
Right.
Which is good for Devlin, really, for being honest. Like, if 205 Live is being this kind of disregarded, I'm glad Devlin as champion is on NXT. Far away from that, but yeah, it really does feel like there's no reason to watch it. If there wasn't, like, because the thing is, 205 Live never got the love it deserved when it was good, but now it's like it's not good. So yeah. Like, I don't really know. I don't know. I'd like if it was entertaining. I'm not gonna say scrap it or whatever because I don't really see much benefit in scrapping any wrestling show, but. I would like if it was good.
I get you. That makes sense. In a number three, talk to me about The Bad from AEW this week.
This is very nitpicky because AEW is really good again.
Yeah.
Like proper good show. So this is just very nitpicky. And we gave them a pass at the start because they were like filming a new wrestling show. It's probably like an inexperienced crew. But they're missing so much cool shit on their camera cuts and their camera angles. And it's like, at this stage, you really should have that sorted out. How many weeks have they been going now? How many months?
Like, since like October, start of October. So
they
should
have their
months.
Shit together now. Like, I was just watching the Mox Cobb match and what happened afterwards, and we'll talk about it later. But like, they're just cutting to like random like shite brawls on the outside, and then they're missing like Darby Allin skating in and whacking someone. It's like,
yeah,
you know, like it's just like, oh, it's just, you're not getting it. But also like, like, the people on the outside are deliberately not trying to draw attention to themselves. They're doing that shit little brawl in the corner because they shouldn't be the focus. What's going on in the ring should be the focus, or someone else should be the focus. So I don't know whether maybe they need to communicate with the referee better so the referee can say like, okay, next spot is blah, 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 or what's going on. But they need to sort that shit out because it's they're killing big moments by doing it. I just think they're the little things that you need to get right to make yourself seem like bigger and grander and as a proper competitor for WWE.
Do you know what's an interesting note? Cody came out, this could be the reason behind that. Cody came out this week and said most weeks I spend it in Gorilla, like looking after that side of things, because he was in the main event in the cage match and he was kind of feeling sick because he knew what was coming up.
Yeah.
He said he just didn't do any of that. So that could be why, like, actually, it could be. It's an interesting one.
And just the commentary, JR again, like, just during the Chris Statlander match, just, she has a backstory where she's an alien who crashed into Area 51.
Yes, thank you for bringing this up. Yes.
And he's just not having a bar of it. He's just like, no, that's unbelievable. It's like, oh yeah, you know, this girl's an alien. No, she thinks she's an alien. And like Excalibur's playing into 100%. Yeah. And Jim Ross is like, no. And he's playing her off as a crazy lady. And it's like, you're not helping your babyface star get over there. Yeah. And like, no one seems to be listening and being like, you know what? He's not adding to this show right now.
Is she actually an alien?
Yeah.
Mad.
Yeah, she crashed in Area 51 from a different planet.
And the way they said it, though, was absolutely... Thank you for bringing this up, because I forgot it, but I remember thinking at the time, it was criminal-like, because JR is like, well, Excalibur, what's her story? And then, like, Excalibur, like, you could tell he was caught off guard, but he kind of like, oh, well, like, she was blah, 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 and starts, like, failing her, and then JR just goes, all right. Like, you just kind of...
Real dismissive.
Yeah, and it's just like, all right, stop talking. And it's like... She's fighting for your belt, you fucking idiot. Yeah.
Is JR a heel?
No. He just doesn't give a shit, like.
Yeah. He's just not adding to the product. He's not selling. He's not on board with what's being sold.
How long is his contract?
I don't know. Like, he must have signed it in blood or something. Like, but it just bothered me as well, because like the amount of shit he has sold over the years, like fucking Kane, Undertaker, like all the stuff in WWE, like he would have been commentating during the whole Katie Vick thing and stuff, wouldn't he? Like all this, fine, push and sell that. This girl wants to do an alien gimmick. Fuck no, she's ruining wrestling. Like it just, they just need to sort out little things like that, because they've so much good going on right now.
Yeah.
Just those couple of little things will fix it.
It's back though.
It is back.
And we will talk about the good in a bit. In at number two though, this is just something I saw online. So Morten Hyde, were they at Progress this weekend?
Yeah. It's against the Anti-Fun Police and Walter.
Oh yeah!
Yes. That looked class. That looked absolutely class.
Their whole lead up to it had me in stitches, like, really? Where they were just like we're gonna die, like this is cool.
But they debuted a new spot, which they'd previewed on Twitter beforehand. So basically it is, it's, if you haven't seen it, go look it up, because I'm probably gonna butcher describing it. But it's like Darren Carney kind of monkey flips LJ Cleary, and then LJ Cleary hits whoever they're aiming at with a code breaker.
Oh, this happened at TNT, so like,
or was it TNT?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So this
is how like hard it is to keep up with more hype these days. Yeah. It's a really good thing for them.
They circus roll backwards, yeah, and then Darren literally catapults Lee with the strength of his legs on to do a code breaker. And it's insane.
And like that's not what I'm putting in, say something stupid. This was then brought up on Reddit, like, and it got a bit of traction on Reddit as well. So it was kind of cool. So as soon as you see this, you're like, do you know when you see like Irish people being discussed like in somewhere that doesn't usually discuss it, and you're like, let's see the reactions here. Mostly, almost unanimously great. And like the best part about it was, it's kind of like when Martini used to get brought up at these places before she kind of blew up worldwide. And like, you're like, oh, they know them. You know what I mean? Everyone's like, blah, blah, and like kind of reacting to it. And like in a way that says they're familiar. And then like you saw one fucking idiot. This bothers me in general. This could be a hot take about like anything. He just turns around. He's like, that's actually not physically possible. You saw it. it happened like you saw it happen, like
you saw it physically,
like,
happen.
They did it, like it's a video. It's like it happened. It's such a shit criticism for wrestling. I get what he's going for, the whole Canadian Destroyer, you couldn't do that in a real fight, blah blah blah, but that's not what you said. It's not physically possible. It is, it fucking happened, you idiot. Somehow not the most stupid thing of the week, because in at number one, talk to me about Impact.
This feels like such a little thing to put in number one. But
it's a slow week, man.
Right. Rick, define dream match.
Austin Rock, Okada Omega, Flair Steamboat.
But what makes that a dream match?
Two of the pinnacles at the top of the sport clashing, where you can't pick a winner, but somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose.
Katie, define a dream match.
a match that I really, really want to see happen between two people.
Okay. Does the match Ace Austin and Reno Scum versus Tessa Blanchard, Tommy Dreamer and Trey Miguel in a six-man tag, does that fall into your definition of dream match?
Well, no, because some of them are just words to me.
And it's very specific as well, like, for me to dream it. Like.
In Look, it's subjective. But according to either Josh Matthews or Don Callis, I can't remember who said it on commentary, this is a dream match. A dream match.
There's a lot of moving parts there for someone to have dreamt it together.
It's one tag team and one singles wrestler with, you know, a little connection with each other against three singles wrestlers that don't really have any connection to each other. One of which is Tommy Dreamer.
you're telling me Tommy Dreamer is not in people's dream matches?
In 2020.
Well, what is your Tommy Dreamer dream match?
Tommy Dreamer versus Dom Tuck.
Yeah, all actually, right. You told me, yeah.
If I mean, with Dom Tuck in any match, it becomes a dream
match.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Sandman against Dom Tuck.
Oh, there we go.
Sorry. Any of the ECW lads against Dom Tuck. Sabu against Dom Tuck. Oh, it works. Oh, we've stumbled on something.
Right. Sorry. The ECW Originals versus...
The Mick Carmichael.
All right, Fight Factory
episode
GM.
14. All right, so
throwing out suggestions.
We've got Jindrak against Devin West. Devin West, you're doing double duty.
Yes, that's all right, man. Don't worry about it. You'll do great. But yeah, that's it. I mean, look, maybe I'm in the wrong. Maybe I'm out of touch. Maybe this is what the kids want. This is the dream match. That's why he didn't say something stupid, because he called it a dream match. It is the only dream match.
Tell me the people in it again.
Ace Austin,
yeah, I forgot it.
And Reno Scum against Tessa Blanchard, Trey Miguel and Tommy Dreamer.
Is Trey Miguel not in a trio already?
Yeah, he's in the Rascals.
So why is he in this trio?
Because it's a dream.
Because
it's not real.
He was in a feud with Ace Austin over the title because Ace Austin wants to, like, fuck his ma.
Legit. That's the reasoning behind this feud.
Well, no, he wanted the title, but, like, his ma was there and Ace Austin's, like, trying to get stuck in.
I want that one.
And Trey's, you know, really upset with him over it.
In Impact's defense, the word dream can mean a lot of different things. Like... Is it a dream to, like, you know, that's something I've dreamt of for years? Yeah, sure. Also, I dream a lot of weird shit. I dream, like, you know what I mean? I was playing darts on a cloud.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just random. And maybe that's the context they meant.
Yeah, you don't control your dreams. Maybe someone did genuinely dream this match. I was like, well, it happened. And now I'm awake.
Maybe that's how Impact books. Maybe that's how Impact just does their booking. Maybe they just write down their dreams at the booking meetings and then that's it.
You never know.
Well, it's one way to book. Moving on to the good from the week, because it's time for... We did say it was a slow week. There's only four things, and this is awesome. Apologies as well. I feel like we should mention there were good shows on School of Irish Wrestling and OTT Belfast. None of us just got a chance, like real life got in the way for all of us this weekend. So we're not omitting them from this. We just didn't get a chance to see them yet and haven't had a chance to catch up on VOD for OTT in particular. So check that out if you get a chance. But like in at number four for the best moments of the week, I won't get too big into this because, again, this is going to be one where I'm talking over people's heads a lot. But New Japan is... Okay, so older people in New Japan, like, they get treated with a lot of reverence and respect. Like, they're seen as tough. They're, like, they're not going to generally beat the newer crop of people, but they'll always put up a fight, if that makes sense, in matches. So, like, they treat them with respect. Japanese culture in general, like, treats elderly people with respect. For example, if you're doing a bow, and you bow to everyone you see in Japan, you bow your head. But if you're doing a bow to an older person, you bow the top half of your body down, because they want to respect elder people. So it's a cool thing that you see, like, cause so it's not kind of like, do you remember Ric Flair jobbing to Rico and stuff like that, where WWE and American wrestling can really shit on older people? New Japan don't do that. They treat it with respect. But there's a sad time now, and where, like, a lot of the generation of older wrestlers that we've become accustomed to seeing in that spot are now coming towards the end of their career. So we had Jushin Thunder Liger obviously retire, at Wrestle Kingdom. And then you've got older people like Tenzan Kojima. You have and just a lot of that general crop are now, you know, at the stage where they can barely walk, much less put together a coherent match. So this week it was the turn of Manu Nakanishi to have his retirement show. A big history in New Japan. Like, these guys are all former IWGP heavyweight champions. They're people with big, long histories in the company. They were the Okadas and Tanahashis of the day. Also as well, Tiger Hattori. I don't know if you've ever seen him. If you watch the New Japan show, do you know the really old referee they have on it? It was his last show, and they did a special show. They were doing house shows in the run up to the New Japan Cup, which is now sadly been pretty much cancelled because of coronavirus. So one of the shows they dedicated to Tiger Hattori, and he ref'd his last match and got a ceremony afterwards. Manu Nakanishi was having one. They really went all out for this. They did a storyline where it was Kojima, Tenzan, Nagata, and Nakanishi, and they were kind of the older crew coming together for one. The band getting back together for one retirement tour. They weren't a tag team. Kojima and Tenzan were a tag team, but they're just always going to be associated with each other in the same way when Okada and Tanahashi are older. They're going to be associated with each other, and they were rivals and whatnot. But now they respect each other. They've been doing emotional interviews and whatnot, where people have been crying during the interviews, just talking about how Nakanishi's never going to wrestle again and how this time is going to come for them all very soon. And they really just went out in style for Nakanishi. They had him wrestle the four of them against the dream team of Okada, Kota Ibushi, Tanahashi, and Hirooki Goto. So they're really going all out. It was the main event of the show. Nakanishi was the one. He went out on his back. That's always the way it's going to happen. We saw with Liger as well, on both nights of his retirement at Wrestle Kingdom. It's always going to be the way. And then they do the retirement ceremony afterwards, which is literally a real world retirement ceremony where you have people getting back into you have people in the ring getting flowers, wrestlers getting flowers from people. It's very funny, actually. There is some memeable moments in it. Nakanishi he was raising his hands with flowers in his hand, and he just didn't know how to be with flowers because he's a tough old wrestler. Do you know what I mean? And someone had to be no, point them at the hard camera. And he's oh, there, me, my flowers. But it is quite sweet, and it's nice. It's very respectful, and it's very emotional as well, because they do a 10-bell salute for guys. They stand in the ring by themselves, and they do a 10-bell salute, and the wrestlers, which is something we associate with people who are dying.
That's awful. I would not be comfortable with that.
It's part of their culture. Do you know what I mean? So it's not we see that as that's a tribute to someone who's dead. But for them, it's just, let's have an emotion. Let's have a moment where we all cry over this. At Liger's, you have that gif of Tanahashi bawling his eyes out during this moment. And it is, you pause and have a moment of respect for the wrestler, and they're there in the ring. And then afterwards as well, it was just Kevin. The reason that it's in here is Kevin Kelly and Chris Charlton's commentary. They got emotional in it as well. And they're look, this is going to happen for all of our favorite wrestlers. And sadly, it's happening to a whole generation of older wrestlers now. And it's going to happen one day, but we thank you for your support. And it's a really testament to the popularity of New Japan, how everyone knows who these people are. They know their backstory, and they fill arenas for this and stuff like that. And they genuinely got emotional in it. And the commentary, it's up on, if you look on either Kevin Kelly or Chris Charlton's, they quote tweeted it. It's just a really lovely commentary about the nature of fandom and how we feel it's the Toy Story 3 of wrestling commentary, if that makes sense. Do you know when it's kind of you grow, people grow up, and it's sad because then you lose out on things that you had when you were younger? It's kind of they got you into that kind of headspace, and you're like, oh man, this is, all of my favorite wrestlers are going to retire and die. But in a respectful way, it was holy shit, I should really appreciate, but the way you came away from it was, I should appreciate them while they're here, because this day will come for all of them once, and sad. But it was really respectful, really good. I'm going to be honest, Manu Nakanishi is someone that just passed me by. I don't know much about his career, but I got to learn through this and the video package they put on beforehand. And then Chris Charlton as well, it's just that he's an encyclopedia of New Japan knowledge. So it was really worth a watch. I was glad I did. It made my week better having seen it. And like, just again, when there's so much shit going on in wrestling, when you go on Twitter and you see people giving out and this and that and the other, here's just a half hour of niceness in wrestling and respectfulness and stuff like that that I love New Japan for. In at number three, I want to talk about, did you get a chance to see the contract signing from Raw?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so like, Katie, your tone of voice is accurate for the pitch that I just gave you. It's a contract signing on Raw, and it's like,
I love contract signings.
Okay, but like, I think a lot of people would feel that way where they're like, oh. And it's like, but this was actually really good. It's the Elimination Chamber. It's the Women's Elimination Chamber contract signing. Now, a lot of it seems random when you look at the people that are in it. So it's Natalya, Sarah Logan, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, Asuka, and Shayna Baszler. And the winner gets a shot at Becky. And like, when you look at that lineup, you're like, oh, I don't know. I'm not really psyched on that, if I'm being honest. Like, there's not that many great wrestlers in that match. And also, as well, I don't see how they're connected. Sarah Logan has, like, not won a match on Raw in, like, 6 months or something like that, I read on Twitter. And it's just like, she's in line for a WrestleMania title shot now. And then, also, as well, it's like, and Shayna's winning. Like, Shayna is absolutely winning. We know the end of this Elimination Chamber before it even starts. This sold me on the match. For a start, you didn't realize, so Ruby Riott came back on Raw a couple of weeks ago and turned on Liv Morgan, and then like, but I didn't even cop until like the two of them were in the ring at the same time, like, oh. And then like, when they kind of go to square up with each other, Sarah Logan then stands up and you're like, oh, they were a thing, the Riott, oh yeah, that's cool. And then you had Asuka just turn around and being like, fuck all these guys, I'm Asuka, like, clearly I'm gonna win here. Shayna Baszler wasn't even there for some reason, and you're like, okay, how's that gonna play out? Shayna ends up coming in through the crowd at the end, and then like getting in the ring, squaring up with Natalya for some reason, and then you're like, okay, I could watch that match, I guess, on a Raw. And then Asuka like comes in the middle of it and just shoves Natalya to the ground. She's like, I'm fucking Asuka. And I'm like, okay, I really want to see that match, Shayna against Asuka. I'm like, holy shit, that's gonna, and then like all hell breaks loose, as you'd expect, but it was really entertaining. Like, that sounds like generic Raw fare, but when you watch it, it was like, like, from start to finish, it sold me on the fucking match. Now I can't wait for this match, even though you know who's going to win. And then at the end of it, Shayna's just standing tall. Like, everyone ended up brawling with each other, but somehow Shayna didn't get touched, despite her coming in big league and everyone doing a Katie Harvey. And but she came in and then she just, like, kind of shrugged her shoulders. And it's like, that is probably how the match is going to turn out, but you know what? I don't mind. Then she's standing in the ring, shrugging her shoulders, and then you hear, whoa, and then you're like, holy shit, okay, what's gonna happen here? And then Becky walks out like kind of strutting down, and then you're like, okay, are they gonna actually just fight, like, because it seems a bit like premature for that. And then Becky just sprinted to the ring then, and they start and they did a pull apart, and it was like, do you know the way, you know, something is a money match when two people have that moment where one sprints at the other, and then when they finally touch, you're like, yeah, yeah, you have that instinctual guttural reaction.
What I feel mad about that is, it's like on Raw, you know, usually when there's wrestlers that are scrapping at a pay per view or something like that, and they'll have a brawl beforehand. Like, for example, you know, Team Owens and Team Rollins. Like, yeah. I don't care. Well, I think it's because like they've had like limited time physically fighting each other, that when I finally saw them scrap, I was like, oh shit, you're like, who's even gonna get the upper hand in this? You, yeah, know what I mean? Like, it got me so into it. Yeah,
you're like, that's the thing. Like, I wasn't there until they actually touched, and then when they touched, I'm like, fucking get out of here! It just brought me from naught to that, like, in seconds. It was fucking cool, and now I'm all about everything toward, like, this match, this feud, I'm all in. It was fantastic, and a great job, well done.
Also, Liv Morgan's dive over the table is just like,
yeah,
picture perfect.
Like, so Ruby Riott's sitting on the seat, and Liv Morgan, and like, all of, like, Asuka's kind of like pushing around Natalya and stuff like that, and Liv Morgan's kind of out of shot, and then she just dives out of nowhere, like, just dives across the table and does a picture perfect dive onto Ruby Riott and knocks her off the seat. It was beautiful, like, 10 out of 10.
So hang on, there's one Women's Elimination Chamber, and it's for the Raw title.
It's not for the Raw title, it's for the WrestleMania title shot. It's for a
at
shot
the at the Raw belt.
Yeah.
So what about the SmackDown women?
We don't know.
Oh, yeah, we don't. Yeah, good point.
I think that's going to be a multi-match to get as many people on the card.
Yeah, probably.
I think Naomi.
No, because they're going to be doing the Women's Battle Royal, aren't they?
Yeah. They have, so SmackDown have a title match on Super Showdown. So I think they're just going a different route. So they've, so it's Naomi against Bayley on Super Showdown, which is the first ever women's title match in Saudi Arabia.
It could be Bayley Naomi again. I mean, yeah.
Could easily.
It could be, yeah. Like,
what? Where's Sasha?
Oh, yeah. She's
cleared. So.
Okay, yeah. No, never mind. It'll be something to do with Sasha.
Yeah, it could be that.
Oh,
too.
No, but then there's also the tag titles.
And there's also Carmella's just come back and is on a hot streak.
Yeah.
And the tag titles,
you're
yeah.
You're just saying that because you're Carmella in your drafts. You want Carmella to be in any way relevant.
Forgot that. I forgot I did that.
Don't be reminding her. That was such a shit pick and we're like, she's going to forget.
It's really funny.
Was she on SmackDown this week?
Yeah
she did won. She won. She got you loads of points.
She got you loads. Literally like double,
that was so,
treble.
I'm so jealous of that
quadruple
signing.
Quadruple
oh,
points.
Oh, man. Quintuple. So good. Well what? Done. Definitely leave her in.
All right.
Quintuple points. Is that... Quintuples five times?
Sure, yeah, that's all the points.
There's actually a Carmella bonus for like quintuple points.
You're actually winning the prediction. In at number two, talk to me about NXT. Really good episode.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. First of all, we got Jordan Devlin versus Leo Rush.
Yes.
Already. And I love it. I love the back and forth they're constantly having on Twitter as well. I'm loving... I don't need to explain. You know what I mean? It's Jordan Devlin versus Leo Rush. Go and watch it. It's fucking great. It was also a big, big return. One I was really looking forward to, and we finally got it. I was like, fucking yes, absolutely screaming. Challenging Keith Lee for the title in his... Oh, is it his first defense since winning it, I think? First, second defense? I don't know. But he defended it against none other than Conor Reeves, and I fucking lost my shit. Love Conor Reeves, Conor Reeves fan club. It's quiet now.
I'm in it.
Oh, are you in it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I get a lot of stick for this.
Oh, really?
I like him.
Oh, no way. What the fuck? Nice. I don't know why I like Conor Reeves. I just do. He's just like weirdly tall. You know what I mean? Like when you see his face, you think he's going to be a lot smaller than he actually is. And then you're like, whoa, what the fuck?
And you feel like he has all the right parts to be a really good wrestler. But yeah, I don't know. I like him. You know the way you just have like jobbers you like?
Yeah,
you
like
enjoy seeing
he
them.
He interests me. You know what I mean? Like, no, I mean this with no disrespect to the likes of Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza. Like when I look at because they also got a spot on NXT as well this week, but I'm looking at them kind of like they're good wrestlers, cool, you know what I mean, but like nothing grabs me. Whereas Conan, I'm like, I'm not saying you're even that good, but you're different.
you intrigue me with your ideas,
yeah,
sir.
I remember who Conor Reeves is. Like, he was out for a while. I think he was injured or something, was he? Yeah. But I remember Conor Reeves, whereas Rael Mendoza hasn't gone anywhere. And I keep forgetting who he is when he shows up, you know what I mean? I'm picking on Rael Mendoza, nothing against him. Like, he's just an example. There's loads of Rael Mendozas in there, you know what I mean? But, yeah, and again, because you look at a lot of lads in there, they're all from, you know, the indies, and they're not, like, you know, the likes of Isaiah Scott. What's Trevor Lee's NXT name?
Oh, Cameron Grimes.
Cameron Grimes, that's yes. It. And, you know, rest like that. And they kind of, they shouldn't, but it's kind of like Jonah Rock is another one. They all like blend in for me. Yeah. They're really good, but it's just like...
They're the mid-cards.
None of them are standing out for me right now. Whereas Conor Reeves, as dumb as it sounds, is standing out for me. You know what I mean? Like, I remember Conor Reeves. And now when he's on my TV, I'm like... Oh, that's Conor Reeves.
that's kind of the deadly thing about, like, that's, and it's underrated. Again, WWE is a bad rap because it's like Saudi Arabia and a lot of other things. But it's kind of the cool thing about WWE in that it's a melting pot. Oh, and, shit. Like, it's, stop playing with your eclair. it's a melting pot. And, like, you have, like, guys who are, like, big stars. Like, but then look at Nakamura, for example. Like, didn't really do the business, like, in the main roster. So he's kind of, like, forgotten about. But then you have... Although, did anyone... Oh, Total Tangent.
Yeah, the fucking Symphony of... Are you going to say the Symphony?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
The Witch?
The on SmackDown last
Symphony
week.
Symphony Destruction, is that what it's
yes,
called?
Yes, that's it. Because they were in, like, I think it was Memphis or a musical town. And like,
oh, was that it? I wondered why they did that. I was like, I don't understand.
They just had a random hardcore match with a bunch of lads, and they were based around, like, musical instruments. And really? It was so irresponsible, but a lot of fun.
Oh, is this like seen all the scandal about Nakamura on a piano or something?
Yeah.
Got his head smashed
They did a running power slam. There was a grand piano, like, beside the announce table. Braun Strowman stood on the announce table and did a power slam from the announce table onto the grand piano. And Nakamura ended up whacking the corner, the head off his, the back of his head off the corner of the piano.
Nine staples.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Yeah, it's worth those. Really good
match. But you know what? Like after that, he became really funny at Twitter. Because afterwards, like even this week, he just posted up "Happy 30th birthday to me." Like broke all of our brains. Just like what? But no, sorry. But that's the thing with NXT as well, though. You have all these cool names in there, but then like it takes something with a bit special to stand out. Velveteen Dream's another good example. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Has something special, gets ahead of a lot of the cool indie names. Do you know?
And I don't know what Conor Reeves has, but it's something
that counts, though. That matters.
Another thing I want to mention is also Bianca Belair.
Yes.
Came out during Chelsea Green versus Katie Carver? Is that her name?
This is class.
Basically interrupts middle of the match with a fucking Kanye West, I'ma let you finish, and basically calls out Charlotte, which is fucking cool. I love Bianca Belair. You did say last week about not getting forgotten about and essentially involving herself in this. I'm sure Charlotte's probably going to kick her head in, but I respect her for standing up for what's right. Yeah. And even if it makes the other two women look like absolute shit, it's still it's still cool. And it was different. You know what I mean? It's a different type of call out.
Yeah.
And it made me, you know, it felt more like, oh shit, because it was the middle of a match. You know what I mean?
So, and then the match continued after.
Yeah. It was deadly. But yeah, no, I loved it.
Bianca is a star. She's like, she's really having a star making moment here where she's like her promos are just fucking fire. Like she is fantastic. Yeah. NXT was great, but it was not the winner of the Wednesday Night Wars because this deserves a mention. I don't think we've kind of given them enough credit. AEW are coming back in a big, big way heading towards Revolution this weekend.
Yeah, it's just been really good the last few weeks. And I think it's good for them that they don't have pay-per-views as frequently as WWE, so they make the big matches mean more. So like there was two main things that I loved this week, and one was the cage match.
Yeah.
With Cody and Wardlow.
Why did you say it so weird?
Because I don't know.
Why does it make it sound like he's got two names? It's Wardlow. Wardlow.
It is. Okay. All right. I'm gonna admit something.
You'd go Wardlow. Okay. That'd be the way you break it. You don't go Wardlow.
Up until an hour ago, I was calling him Warlord. Okay.
It's just Wardlow, though. It's not even like a hard name.
It is.
It's not like Cain Velasquez or
Wardlow.
War. As in where people kill each other. Flow.
Wardlow.
Yes, Wardlow.
Wardlow.
Now Luther Ward. Ward.
Yeah.
Low. Now say Ward.
Ward.
Say low.
Low.
Wardlow.
Wardlow.
See, now I'm getting really insecure. Like, what if I got it wrong?
No, you're right.
Cody wrestled a lad in a cage. First of all, this cage looks deadly.
Yeah.
It's way higher than WWE.
Yeah.
And like, it's just cool looking. Mm-hmm. Another thing I love about this match, the rules. No escape the cage rule.
Yeah.
None of that bullshit. You have to pin or be submitted in the ring. And I just, because I never understood the escape the cage rule. We've talked about it here before. Like, it's shit. So this is really good. The match is really good. Cody's just a proper baby face. Like, big match Cody, bleeding fucking 2 minutes into the match.
Yeah.
And the other thing I loved, he hit his finisher. He kicked out, hits a moonsault off the top of the cage, and that's the finish of the match. Mm. It's not a lead into a crossroads. You know what I mean? I hate when they do that. They do the big spot off the cage, but then they finish with their finisher.
Yeah.
Like, he finished with the big spot that he could only do in this match. And that's Wardlow's. He lost.
He did lose.
I don't think it affected him losing because Cody had to go to like extreme lengths to beat him.
Yeah, he looked like a monster. Like.
Yeah, he looked deadly. Like,
who do you think win the fight, Jake Hager or Wardlow?
Wardlow.
Who do you think win the fight?
I just enjoy hearing Katie say Wardlow. I'd pick Wardlow, yeah.
Yeah,
I'd probably go him too. No, I was just wondering.
That's a question.
I don't really understand why Brandy's accompanying him to the ring again. I thought they were done with that.
Did they address them showing that they're done with the Nightmare Collection.
But then they kept referencing the Nightmare Collective during the match.
Because they're trying to distance themselves. In a weird way, by bringing it up, they're trying to distance. They're like, that's not happening anymore. That's not a thing. Stop giving out.
Okay, yeah, because I wasn't really sure what was happening.
I think that's why.
Excalibur, again, was great on commentary. There's a really nice little moment where he was... Cody was crawling out of the cage and they were referencing something that I didn't even know happened where Dr. Luther apparently smashed Dusty Rhodes head in a cage
nice.
Years ago in like a big high stakes title match.
Nice.
So they had a moment where he was holding the door and Cody was crawling out, and it kind of looked like he might hit Cody, but then he hit MJF. And then like commentary just made that moment mean so much more, because I didn't know about the Dusty Rhodes Dr. Luther yeah. match, and I was just like, oh, that's really cool, like they're really thinking on so many angles here to make this a really good story.
When with commentary, like, and you're right in what you say, your criticism of it, but when they get into the old school elements of wrestling yeah. that say Cody brings in, they really like that. That's when you see like Excalibur is great, like in general he's consistently yeah. great. Giovanni isn't there a lot, he's and he's kind of the third guy, like he just kind of chimes in every now and then. So mainly it's JR and Excalibur, but JR steps up as well in those moments when it's the wrestling that he likes.
Yeah,
he taps invested, into it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, I just really like cage match, and now we get MJF versus Cody, and like I love how long they've held this off, and like it feels like a massive match now. The other thing I loved was Moxley and Cobb and what happened afterwards.
Yes.
Because Darby Allin is just deadly. Like I can't even really describe what happened, but like the Inner Circle were at ringside and then they weren't at ringside, and then there's a brawl started, and then in the middle of it all, Darby Allin just skates down, cool as fuck, starts doing spots with his skateboard.
And stop it though, the way they brought him back. Because he was taken out by, like, when the Inner Circle were being, like, freaky bastards, and they were, like, trying to kill people a few weeks ago, and they, like, went for Moxie's eye, and they went for his voice box. Mm. They had a skateboard against the ring steps, I think, was what took him out. But the way they brought him back, where, like, the lights went out.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, what the fuck, who's this? And then his music's so cool, it's like, I don't sleep, cut. And then, like, it's like, oh, shit! Like, they made him look a star.
Yeah, and, like, that's what they need, because, like, while I love Jericho, Mox and all the main event, they don't have their own homegrown main eventer yet, like, and like that's him. And it was just really cool. What else? There was something else that happened at the end of it.
He did so he took the piss out of Sammy Guevara's do you know what he does during the commercial breaks? He does the signs.
Yeah.
Like in the picture in picture, he does the signs. And then Darby Allin challenged them at Revolution in that. And then he was doing it, like even the signs were, I love the font in them. They were very Darby Allin.
Yeah.
Like kind of emo font. And then the last sign was, it's like at AEW Revolution, and then it cuts to a black sign where it's like a devil like destroying someone. He's like, I'm going to hit you up.
Yeah.
And that's Sammy Guevara. It was really cool.
Was Sammy Guevara getting decapitated with the super kick this week?
Oh yeah! Oh my god! So that's another thing I want to mention. Yeah, the tag team battle royale at the start.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was really fucking good. The way they like, again, just like the way they ordered it, like Dark Order. They're kind of selling me on Dark Order. Dark Order are getting.
It's because they have like a mystery now, and I love mysteries.
Yeah. But like, I like Dark Order and the whole like, is Christopher Daniels gonna join them and stuff like that? And then he wasn't there, and then they eliminated SCU, but then like the Young Bucks took them out straight afterwards, and then they cut to the crowd. And did anyone see this, or even on Twitter? They cut to the crowd and they showed the Dark Order, Evil Uno, and like the guy who hosts the Join Dark Order videos, like going mad. And then like they walk away through the crowd, and who's sitting there? Fucking Raven.
What?
Yes, Raven was just sitting in the crowd as they're talking about who's the Exalted One. Who's the Exalted One?
Oh shit! That's not an accident like that. Oh,
but here's the
God.
Thing: what if it is just like a red herring?
No,
like what if it's not him and like he was just sitting there and they're just trying to get us talking? That is fucking genius.
That is genius.
No, man, that has to be. It has to be him. Don't let me down with that. I love Raven.
What if it's someone better?
Raven's one of the first like wrestlers I ever met. I love Raven. Raven's like Irish wrestling 2008. But like, I go back.
he's just sitting there in like a Hawaiian shirt, like genuinely like
Hawaiian
a fan.
Shirt.
It's so like, it's so just like you wouldn't notice it, but like people picked it up on Twitter.
But that's why I think it is
that's
gonna
so
be
clever.
Him.
But also, didn't they tease Seema as well?
Yeah,
they tried to give him a mask, and he didn't say yes, but he didn't say no, and he was just kind of.
But
like
that was a very in your face, this could happen thing. Whereas the Raven, it's so discreet.
But like, that's cool the way they're presenting a few different people now.
Yeah.
Daniels is the big, like, he's the red herring. He's the one that's probably not going to be, because they're making it so obvious that it's going to be him.
Yeah.
Even on being the Elite and so on.
Oh my god, any other, Raven!
Any other outside the box possibilities? Like, who would be cool? Like, because this is obviously going to be a debut. It could be a Raven, someone older. It could be a manager. We don't know if it's, like, someone who's going to wrestle, so it could be anyone, like.
Who's a free agent?
But that's the thing. It could be, like, fucking Diamond Dallas Page is a heel. Do you know what I mean? It could be anyone.
I know, don't
like,
say that. Don't.
But like, it could be literally anyone. That's the cool thing.
Hope it's Tommy Dreamer. I hope it's Tommy Dreamer, Trey Miguel, Tessa Banks. So you can finally have that dream match.
And then the story in the Battle Royale where, because like it was both tag team partners, so like both tag team partners had to be eliminated for the team to win. So like Nick Jackson got eliminated like fairly in the middle of the match. So Matt Jackson was by himself and he's going against like LAX and then who else was there? The Butcher and the Blade. So you're like, he's not going to win. But the way they did it was absolutely class. And then Sammy Guevara gets involved on behalf of LAX, does a springboard into the ring and then gets caught with a super kick. But like, that bump was fucking scary as fuck. He seems to be okay, so it was a really cool bump. We can enjoy it, but holy shit, like he nearly died. AEW's been fantastic though.
Like I'm proper looking forward to the next show now because there's so many different threads. They still probably need to do a little bit of work on the women's division because that's still not really happening. But like,
they're doing stuff though. Nyla Rose being champion is an interesting twist.
Yeah,
I hope they don't give it to Chris Statlander because I feel like they're finally finding a direction with Nyla Rose.
Yeah,
Britt Baker. That's I'm kind of coming around to your point of view where she's
in on the joke now. Like
she's settling into the heel role now. So I'm into it. So but
they have a champion who's a champion. You know what I mean? Rio was just another wrestler.
Yeah,
and she just happened to have the belt. Whereas now it feels like they're kind of. They're kind of gravitating around Nyla, you know what I mean? Like, this is a very good point. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like when 205 Live had the Cruiserweight Champion, you know what I mean? They're all trying to fucking get the. Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say.
So let's get to it. Let's get to AEW Revolution. We're going to be doing the Prediction League this week as well for AEW Revolution. We won't go through match by match, so we'll just go through the big ones. Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page against the Young Bucks for the AEW Tag Team Championships. This has low-key been a great storyline as well. Yeah. Such little subtleties playing into it. I saw a really good theory this week that what if Kenny... We all think Hangman Page is going to turn heel. What if Kenny Omega turns heel?
Nah, I don't think he will.
It's an interesting one. Like they're finishing up his feud with Pac, so there's a 30-minute Iron Man match with him and Pac tonight. I know. That's really fucking good. Like and on the go home and nothing to do with anything else as well.
I love how they're setting up all these big matches one show after the next. So it's like there's always something really cool happening. You know what I mean? I'm actually loving AEW now. I'm not going to lie.
They are. They're doing fantastic. But which way, how do we think this is going to go? Could they just retain or do you think this the Young Bucks?
I know the predictable route is like Hangman turns and the Bucks win, but I think Hangman turns and the Bucks win. I think maybe it's so predictable I think that we're going to predict it's not going to happen. So I'm going to predict it happens. Be ahead of the game. You know what I mean?
I think there's still legs in this dynamic. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen at that show.
I
think Hangman and Omega are going to win and they're going to keep going for a while.
Or like, what if it's like there's a count out or a DQ or something which they don't win, like, or Hangman just fucks off and gets disqualified or gets counted out. Do you know what I mean?
Something like that.
Something like that is a way. But that seems a bit cheap for AEW. They like to have winners and losers. Like they have their stats and all that kind of stuff.
But they will have plenty of other stuff on the show. If it was a main event, I'd agree with you. But because there's a lot here. I don't know. It's gonna be fun though. Wait, is this weekend?
This is this Saturday.
Oh
yeah, and they still have more matches to go. There's only six now. AEW's tonight. The go home's tonight. Like after we tape, so they will book it out. You've got Jake Hager against Dustin Rhodes. You've got Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, Nyla Rose.
Jake Hager is going to batter Dustin. That is unfortunate. Oh, yeah. I apologize.
I think that's his first proper
it's
match.
His first
though,
match
though.
In AEW. Yeah.
Imagine Dustin won. Imagine Dustin. No, not Rhodes. Like he battered him. Imagine Dustin just battered the fuck out of him.
And Nyla Rose against Chris Statlander, we've already touched on. MJF against Cody. How do we see this playing out? Is this like Cody gets his big win, or is he making a star here?
MJF is winning. Okay. He has to, doesn't he? Like,
don't say
he
that.
Has to.
It does matter this as well. It's like if you gave me this match at the start of AEW, I'd have been like, "Oh, I love MJF," and Cody's like, "Whatever," you know what I mean? But now I'm like, this story's been so good. I'm like, I'm literally like, fuck off, MJF. Fuck you. Yeah. And like, I'm proper rooting for Cody.
He cut a really good online only promo after Dynamite last week. And like, he just does little things that irritate the fuck out of me. Like, the girls chase that and being like, oh, excuse me, can I ask you a question? He just turned and goes, you're excused, doll. And I was just like, I fucking hate you. I hate you so much. You're a fucking creep.
I love how he uses sexism like to get over as a heel. Like, that's brilliant. Yeah, like, why not?
Like, it's brilliant because it winds me up so much. Like, because normally I like funny, cocky heels. But like with him, I'm actually like, I detest you.
Yeah.
Like, I want to strangle you with your scarf.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting one as well. Like, here's the thing as well. Like, now this match is happening, okay? But like, And this is going to be one of the things where people listening will probably know what happened afterwards, but there's still the one stipulation left that could stop this match from happening, and that's Cody, if he doesn't touch MJF tonight. So, here's a theory I saw online. I can't take credit, okay? What's MJF got to do to get Cody to hit him? Last week, they hinted at this. Do you remember Brandy went to stop MJF? Or she hit him in the arse with a chair. And then MJF got down and threatened to hit her. What if he does something to Brandy tonight? And Cody will have to, like, yeah, it's an
interesting. I could have left Brandy, like, you know, I mean, Brandy's a pro wrestler now, so, I mean, you know, just...
But, like, you know? What if he takes her out or something? You know, again, it's
well, then the damage is done. I mean, like...
I think it'll look like maybe Cody is going to, like, throw him away, but then he'd be like, no, you know what? I can do more damage.
I think Dustin or someone would hold him back, or someone like Aaron Anderson or something would hold him back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Then he's not going to touch her. Like, the match is going to happen.
The match is happening.
You know what I mean? But, like...
What if MJF touches him and then, like, takes a dive like a footballer and he's like, no, that's it. Red card, you're out.
The ref just comes along with a whistle like
what if MJF he's just like, no, I'm injured, man, sorry. Well, I'll next time maybe.
Here's what's interesting, okay? Chris Jericho against Jon Moxley, AEW championship on the line. It's tough because, like, you know,
I don't think it is. I think Jericho's holding this for ages.
I'm not ready for Jericho to not be champion.
My heart says Moxley, but my head just says Jericho. I can't imagine Jericho not winning this.
Yeah, like, he's still the centerpiece of the whole company.
Like, I see Jericho holding this for like a year.
I think he loses it to Darby Allin if that's where they're going. Oh,
I think Darby Allin or MJF.
Yeah,
I think they're going
to
take it.
Mox doesn't need it.
He doesn't.
Though if he won it, he'd be bringing it to Scrappermania.
Oh, it's an interesting...
And that adds a wrinkle to the David Starr story.
Title versus title. Oh!
you made me feel a lot better about this. Jericho, imagine, like, that was the storyline where it was like, okay, you don't want to put your title on the line. I'm happy to put my title on the line. And it was an AEW championship match. And that's how you get Moxie to win, and it's okay.
Oh! Oh, I want Moxie to win so badly. It's not going to happen, but I want to win so badly.
Just a cut.
Oh,
I'm
my
just
God.
Saying. But no, I want Jericho to win. I'm like, yeah, I like, one of the highlights of me for every week is Judas hitting. Like, and it's become such a really integral part of Dynamite. Like, the crowd singing it now. When they're deliberately stopping the song before the chorus just so the crowd go into it now. It's fucking awesome. Like, him coming out, Le Champion, I'm not ready for that to end. Yeah. Like, I want that to go on forever.
He can't be Le Champion if he doesn't have the championship.
Yeah. It changes everything if he doesn't have the belt.
That's like when I was younger and I was like, John Cena can't lose the title because then he can't say the champ is here anymore. Genuinely, one thing that proper upset me in 07 was like the thought of him losing the title because he couldn't say it.
You know what? Gabe was that fucking one of the worst wrestling t-shirts I've ever seen in my life, though. The white one with the arrow pointing down and like the title printed on the bottom.
That was later. That was like 2011 or 12 or something.
Such a bad t-shirt.
Yeah.
We also have Super Showdown. There's not like a lot going on. Undertaker is rumored to be going over. AJ Styles is starting to kind of... He cut a promo on Raw this week where he's like, I can beat all the legends, so... It seems like that's where it's going to go. They're having like a six-person, like six-way gauntlet match for something, Pride of Saudi Arabia.
It's a trophy, a very prestigious trophy, and do you know who's fighting for it?
Who's that? Eric Rowan.
Yeah.
I think AJ's winning that. And then Taker's coming out afterwards, and then they're gonna, that's how they set up their match. You have Mansoor against Dolph Ziggler. You know what? I'm gonna go out on a limb here and I pick the underdog to cause a huge upset.
Man, I love Mansoor. I love it. I was like 364 days a year. Who the fuck's that? 365th day to go to Saudi Arabia. It's like, yes! Yeah!
I'm into it now. I'm into it. It kind of makes me enjoy these shows because of it. Yeah, you've got the Angel Garza against Humberto. That's a really good story. Angel Garza, Andrade's coming back on Raw next week as well.
That suspension was about 4 days. he got suspended like a week ago.
Street Poppers fighting for the belt. Miz and Morrison fighting for the tag belts. Bayley against Naomi, historic match, course, women's title on the line. Reigns, Baron Corbin in a steel cage, man. Lesnar against Ricochet. That's not.
This is a good card. I'm actually into this.
The interesting one is what happens now. The Fiend against Goldberg again. Like, reports now are saying John Cena's back on Friday. He's back the next day.
Yeah.
Could he play into the title picture?
Don't hit us with the reports, because I want to know nothing going into this, right?
I don't know. No one knows anything about
Goldberg
this.
Is gonna beat the fuck out of the Fiend. I think he's getting the title here. I don't actually, but I'm gonna say that just for a laugh.
Katie, how do you think this match is playing?
I don't care about Saudi Arabia. And
you do.
I don't.
I hate Saudi Arabia, so I'm going to pretend I don't care about The Fiend versus Goldberg. If Goldberg won the title, you'd care. Don't act like
it's
wouldn't care.
It's not happening in Saudi Arabia.
It could easily happen in Saudi Arabia. They love Goldberg.
Apparently.
I'm going to say it happens. Because then it could be like Goldberg. Because if it's Goldberg Reigns at Mania, he's losing at Mania.
It's not happening at a show that only a portion of people watch.
Loads of people watch it. It's like
The Fiend won the belt at the last Saudi Arabia show.
Yeah, and again, people had the same reaction.
Well, I don't remember that because I didn't watch that either.
But like, it still happened.
Yeah. I don't think you.
Shit, is that really where he won it?
Yeah. Do you remember after the disaster Hell in a Cell match?
Yeah.
And then like he had a rematch with Seth Rollins on that, and that's where he won the belt. Yeah.
Oh, I've tuned out Raw 100% last year.
I've had the opposite. I've watched Raw, SmackDown, all that like 2 weeks in a row.
Still watching like.
What? SmackDown? SmackDown's the worst one of the two.
SmackDown's got all my favorites on it.
Like who?
Like Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, but it's not Eric Rowan though, so you know. That's
okay, so we're kind of split on that. Anyway, it'd be interesting, and it'll give us loads to talk about, I'm sure, next week. We pulled out a decent show for a show where nothing's happened. So,
yeah.
Well done, guys. have we got anything coming up, Katie? Are you taking a well-earned break from wrestling this weekend?
I'm still on my break for another week. I'll be back at the Fight Factory show on March 7th.
Yes, and we're going to
March 8th.
March 8th, come on.
Come on, man.
We're going to have a big preview of that coming up next week, so we're going to be talking about that too. Get your tickets on eventbrite.ie. Please support ahead of time. I know, again, there's a lot on Scrapper Mania and all coming up. I understand. I appreciate that. But if you can, support us on eventbrite.ie because you do need it. Mike Quackenbush is going to be there. The Irish debut is going to be absolutely class. So please get involved. We will make it worth your while, even though we haven't announced much about the card. Expect announcements very, very shortly for it, and we'll be discussing all of it next week. Corporate Keen,
not for ages, don't bother.
Okay. Subscribe to Corporate Keen's back catalogue on YouTube. If you could recommend an old video of yours to recommend to a new subscriber to kind of get the tone for what they can.
The one with your ma is my favourite.
Yeah, I love that.
Go with that one.
Guys, back next week. Well, we'll be back this Friday with Ask Low Blow. So we'll chat to you then. And we'll be back next week to break down all of the action. But until then, for Katie Harvey, for Corbin Keane, I've been Rick Nash. And that's the bottom line, because Low Blow said so.